Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by my brothers, Father Stephen Dominic Hayes and Father Raymond Snyder. Let's begin with a prayer to Our Lady. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our topic today has to do with that prayer we just recited together, the Hail Mary. The Rosary is a beautiful prayer. It is a way of showing devotion to Our Lady. It is also a school for theology. Now, that might sound a little bit of an unusual claim. The Rosary might think, well, through beads I pray Hail Marys and Our Fathers and Glory Bees. How is that a school for theology?
Well, I'm doing a lot of rosary preaching right now, so this is definitely on my mind. One of the things about the rosary is that I think we can underplay it. You know, it's such a powerful prayer for Catholics. But we all come to it differently, I think. So I think one mistake is to see it as a purely Marian devotion. When I was younger, before the time of John Paul II, you know, you would hear from liturgy offices that you shouldn't pray the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament because that's a Marian devotion, and you should focus on Eucharistic devotions. But the rosary is, in fact, the gospel prayed. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the structure of the mysteries, you really see a very powerful theological structure that sums up the entire economy of God's grace. You find in the joyful ministries the Word proceeding forth from Father eternally, taking flesh to the Virgin, and becoming man for us, with all that that means. And then, you know, with the cross prophesied in the presentation at that temple, the work of the preaching of the Word signaled in the finding in the temple and so forth. You have in the great work of the great Passover of the Lord, the work of the cross, the beginning in the Last Supper, and terminating in the glory of Easter and that which follows it in the sorrowful mysteries, and then in the glorious mysteries you find He who entered our world, lifting Himself and us out of it, you know, drawn by the nets of God into grace and the new life of the New Jerusalem, beginning in perfection with His own mother, mm-hmm. Who stands in a sense in the rosary, I think, for all of us who are made Christian. And you see this in the text of Scripture, which are the heart of the rosary. Mm-hmm. Up to the 1500s, the rosary, even the rosary prayers were purely Scripture. Mm-hmm. Hail, full of grace. Even though the name Jesus was added to the Hail Mary until like 1470, something like that, with Blessed Alan. But these mysteries provide a way to look at the Gospels and indeed, I'd say, all of Scripture and find one passage opening up the meaning of another. So, I mean, you can look at you can approach the rosary in so many ways. I mean, the words provide an anchor for the body while we're praying. They provide the words specifically as Scripture provide a focus for the life of the soul, the emotions, the appetites, and you know there's a meaning and purpose which is played out in our own prayer of the Rosary, our meditation on these things, the deeper communion with God that goes on in the soul and depths of prayer through the Holy Spirit, that all these things are part of the rosary. And as I said, it's a school of theology as well.
Yeah, and I think it's another way to look at it as a school is that a school is a place where a student learns from a teacher.
Right.
Where you listen as someone presents to you, teaches you, shows you truth, mm-hmm. you know, and in the Rosary, we do have important passages and we sit with Mary alongside of her or
and
maybe
ponder.
At her feet and ponder these mysteries as she did. And because she was such a great student of her son, the best, you know, we learn from her as we look with her at her son. You know, Mary, whereas sometimes we can read a passage in the gospel as simply a passage of text, you know, or something that happened, you know, for Mary looking at, for example, the cross, this is not something that happened, you know, this is her son,
right.
You know, this is someone that she loves. This is someone that she's observing, not simply as a passive, someone taking notes, but she's involved in this. This affects her. And so in the Rosary, you know, we become students along with Mary, looking at this passage that is not just a passage of a simple event that happened, but it's a passage of a living person.
We can even use these mysteries apart from the actual praying of the Rosary. Mm-hmm. And this is actually where I think they're sort of useful. I frequently find bringing the Rosary mysteries as a kind of set of lenses to look theologically at a passage I have to preach on, mm-hmm. you know, or a passage of Scripture I'm reading, and to look for the patterns that God has given. You know, I mean, we have the literal sense of each text, but then there's also the spiritual sense where Christ in prophecy is hidden on every page, where you and I have our destiny outlined with God in every page. And then the actual the challenge to the heart in the moment, how to react to the word that comes from the page, how one's heart chooses based on what God says through the sacred page in the moment, you know, towards the will of the Father or away from the will of the Father and so forth. But as I said, I think for you, if you look at, say, the Annunciation, you know, every drop of water in the Scriptures points to the, you know, the water that flows from the side of Jesus. But the Annunciation is all about beginnings. So, I mean, in one sense, you know, you can look at the creation, you know, the rising, specifically the rising of that dry land, that stage on which the rest of the life of the human race will be enacted, rising out of the depths of the chaotic waters of the primeval abyss. This, you know, is continued, it is perfected, as Christ is formed in the waters of Mary's womb in the Annunciation. Mm-hmm. You know, that she who first conceives Christ in her mind conceives him then in her womb, that he may be brought forth to accomplish those things which have begun so anciently in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
That in a sense that it binds all the Scripture, these mysteries can be seen to bind all the Scripture together. You know, when you talk about, you know, you see wood in a passage of Scripture, it points to the cross. You know, your blood, you know, the blood that Moses casts upon not only the altar of God, but the people, binds, you know, the holy people of God into one. You know, they're the family of God. They share one blood with God in the ritual sense, and this, you know, points to the power of what Christ is accomplishing on his own cross. You know, even in places like the crowning of thorns, where the Scripture passage has those who stand in front of Pilate, you know, with Jesus standing there with the crown of thorns and the purple robe, you know, crying out, "His blood be on us and our children." You know, that a blessed thing, you know, that saving blood, you know, a better blood than the blood that bound people to the altar in Moses' time, a blood that gives life and eternal life. You know, may his blood be on us and our children. We can say that with a whole new, and understand it a whole new way when we see the shape of the rosary mystery is giving meaning and depth to the passage that is before us.
Mm-hmm. So maybe for just do a few examples of that, like, you know, how we could look at the rosary as a school of theology, how we can look at individual mysteries of the rosary as a lens through which to look at another passage of Scripture, since Scripture is all really from ultimately the same divine author, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit. So suppose you know the Sunday reading is about the Good Samaritan, you know. Mm-hmm. What's an example? I'm just putting you both on the spot, Father Raymond and Father Stephen. If you had to think of looking at that passage, you know, we all know that parable, that right. the man is going down on his way to Jericho. He's ambushed by robbers, is beaten and left for dead, and other people pass by him. And then a man from Samaria finds him and brings him healing. If you're looking at that, how would you use the rosary as your lens, or a mystery of the rosary as a lens on that passage?
Well, the Samaritan who comes and puts the man on his own animal, as it were. Well, first of all, we should recognize it's a way. So what comes to mind for me most immediately is the carrying of the cross, right? And to think of how Christ, we can see not only in the figure of the one who is beaten, but of course in the one who is doing the healing and saving, and in some way even in the figure, starts to sound like a father of the church to say it this way, but even in the figure of the animal, mm-hmm. that the Samaritan places the man upon. You know, he puts him on his own animal. We should think of how our Lord takes upon himself in carrying the cross, not only our offenses and sins, but we ourselves. You know, he carries us in carrying his cross. And then we can derive great strength from that. Come to me, all who burdened and are heavy burdened, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. It's only when our crosses are joined to Christ, when we see them as joined to Christ, that they become light. So I think there's a lot that can be done associating things with the central activity of our Lord's Paschal mystery.
How about you, Father Hayes?
Well, you're talking about the place in his own animal. I just got thinking the Lord's entry into Jerusalem. And perhaps, you know, with that, the whole, you know, either reverencing or acknowledging or denying his kingship, you know, in the crowning with thorns. If you look at the scriptures, these passages are more than simply the little holy pictures I grew up with mm-hmm. in my missal, you know. I remember reading
it is amazing how the first pictures you see of something impress their
yeah, that's
themselves.
Right. The liquor always the cup always tastes of the first liquor to hold the Irish.
All the more reason to appreciate sacred art and to
that's right.
be renewed in it.
But you know that he comes lowly and riding on an ass. You know, that's a fulfillment of the messianic understanding that the Son of David would come on riding this animal, which is character not horses but donkeys are characteristic of the throne of Israel. And he places him. That we are put on the way of Christ, you know, which mm-hmm. is both a royal way and a humble way, mm-hmm. you know, that we're asked to follow him. And you know, you've got the whole, you know, I think to some extent you could look at the mystery of Pentecost, you know, when Christ commits the Holy Spirit to overshadow the Holy Church and make of it a home. Here is the inn that the Lord places the wounded heart, the broken body, the one who has no hope, who has been beaten up and left for dead by the life and the culture, and now entrusted to the apostles, you know, mm-hmm. who are shadowed by the Holy Spirit and who have made a home in Holy Church as they surround our Blessed Lady, who herself stands for the power and the hospitality, the holiness and the richness and healing power of Holy Church.
Hmm. Yeah, I was even thinking of even the mystery of the Rosary that's the Nativity of the Lord, mm-hmm. that Christ comes from an unexpected direction, you know, to save. If you see the wounded man is mm-hmm. wounded humanity. You know, left for dead. unable to be helped by the sacrifices of the old law from the priests and the Levites. Now here comes someone who's unexpected, you know, someone who was born in a small hillside shelter and had a manger for a bed, someone who comes from the outside in order to bring this person, back to health, to restore them, and who is willing to spend whatever it takes to do that. You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Father Raymond Snyder and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and we've been discussing how you can look and pray the rosary as a school for theology, how you can sit beside Mary, who is the best of all students of her son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and while looking at these mysteries of his life, realizing that these are not simply facts to be memorized, these are windows into the very reality of God. These are ways in which we come to understand God, which is what theology literally means, to understand, to love, and to enter in to that truth, that blessed truth that is God himself. So we were looking at the passage of the Good Samaritan as one example that we could look at.
I think it's worth bringing up too. A lot of our listeners may even be familiar with the fact that the Rosary is a distinctively Dominican devotion, not in the sense that it belongs to the order and not to others, but that it's been preached and promoted by the order from the earliest days. And of course, many will be familiar with the image of Our Lady giving the Rosary to Saint Dominic. We know that Saint Dominic encouraged the faithful in prayers and repetition of certain Our Fathers and Hail Marys in a kind of proto-Third Order, what would become the Third Order, the Militia of Jesus Christ. And so there's a tremendous connection from the earliest days of the order with the Rosary, but it's also worth asking, what's distinctively Dominican about the Rosary, or not only why are Dominicans, you know, constantly talking about the Rosary, but what do we see in it that is really kind of a source for the life of the order, for a model of the theological work of the order? And I think the key can be found in understanding the Dominican motto to contemplate and to share with others the fruits, or what one contemplates, the things contemplated. That image of Our Lady handing the rosary to Saint Dominic. Literally, she is giving what she has contemplated to him to be handed over. If you look at St. Thomas's discussion of this phrase, he almost gives you the impression that contemplation is like something you can hold in your hands and give to others. You know, you hold it in your minds, you pray, you contemplate the mysteries of the Lord's life, and you give them to those who, for whatever reason, are not able to contemplate, or who don't have the same leisure to be able to contemplate the Lord's mysteries to the same degree. I mean, that's a great description of preaching, to hand on what one has contemplated so as to spark the contemplation of another, which leads ultimately to the vision of God in heaven. I think another way to bring this into someone's mind is looking at that image of Saint Dominic receiving the rosary. Rarely do you see Our Lady having let go of the rosary. Right? She's holding on to one end, and he's being invited to hold on to another. It's a ladder. It's a bridge. It's a connection, a continued connection to Our Lady's intercession. It's not as though here's just one moment right before she let go. You know, that's not what's being painted. I think there's a great thing to be considered in. Here's Our Lady handing on her contemplation and inviting us to be a part of it.
And her wisdom. Her wisdom flows from, wisdom is the gift by which we love more perfectly. This perfect love comes from, not as an intellectual gift, but as a spiritual gift. And this wisdom grows as she ponders these things in her heart. You know, I mean, Sirach 14, blessed is the one who meditates on wisdom and who reasons intelligently, who reflects in his mind on her ways, will also pursue her secrets, pursue wisdom like a hunter and lie in wait on her paths. You know, I mean, this is all Our Lady, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a model for the Dominican as well.
Right. And the Dominicans from early times preached these same mysteries to people as a way to make real, especially to underscore the reality of Christ, Christ who is God and man, Christ who is incarnate in our human nature so that we might one day, body and soul, be with him in heaven in glory. And yes, and I like that image, Father Raymond, you said about Mary still holding on to one end of the rosary. She's still looking upon her son. I mean, that's what the beatific vision is, you know, to look upon the truth of God. And she still encourages us to ponder with her, to reflect with her, and to see that these things that seem so simple on their face, you know, really are incredibly deep and can help us understand Christ and understand our whole life in the light of Christ.
To really be caught up into him. I mean, there's, in one sense, the whole universe is about one story, you know, and that's the story of Jesus Christ. And then all of us have a place in it. All of us have a part in it. All of us are caught up in it. And this is one, this praying, the mysteries of the rosary over the mysteries of Scripture, I think is one way in which we deeply get caught up into the story ourselves and see our part so we can play our part.
Mm-hmm. I think the rosary is a great model of how we can pray without ceasing, too. You think of how many moments in the life of a Catholic can be marked with, or at least have the presence of the rosary. It's almost what we do when we don't know what to do. You know, in addition to praying, think of all the rosaries prayed at the bedside of one who's dying or sick. Think of the rosary prayed before someone's funeral, the evening before someone's funeral. It's also something that can become, that can permeate the whole of our day, that it's not just, oh, well, I could pray the rosary a bunch of different times and places. It's that if I have a habit of praying the rosary, I can almost just naturally launch into it. You know, there's the day itself and many moments, you know, whether it's stuck in traffic or times when you have to wait, times when you're waiting on someone else, you can pray the rosary because you can very naturally slip into that form of prayer, contemplating the mysteries, and almost being led from the voice to the mind. You know, we say the Hail Marys, we get our bodies moving, a physical part of us speaking, moving, and in some ways that jumpstarts the mind. Often it works in that direction. Of course, mind and heart are meant to go together in our prayer, to be not merely vocal, but also mental, spiritual. But there's the physicality of the rosary, not only the sacramental itself, something we can hold in our hands and move along bead by bead, but the very act of vocal prayer can encourage our mind and heart to be lifted up to God.
There's a communication too. I do. My experience of the rosary is one that joins hearts and hearts in the same moment. It becomes a place where sometimes it's the only prayer you can pray. You can't. I mean, this is what we do, Catholics, when we don't have the Mass, when we're too upset to pray anything else. I remember when my dad was dying, I got a call. I was a student brother at the time. I got the call at 2:30 in the morning. Called my brother at the hospital. He's a, you know, was attending my father's death, and said, "Can you get up here?" And I said, "It's impossible." So tell Dad I love him. And you know, I was in Washington; he was dying in Boston, and no way to get up there during the night. And so I went to the chapel and prayed. And when I hit the cruci-, I mean, I couldn't pray anything else. I was just totally torn up, you know. And I got to the crucifixion, and then knew. My dad had died. God bless the Lord. for letting. No, because I couldn't be part of it, you know. And then all of a sudden I was. And then I wept, finished the rosary, and then called the hospital. Yeah, he had died exactly at that moment. And the family had gone home. And I said, that's all right. The nurse didn't know what to say. But what I'm saying is, it was a profound experience of being connected not only to God, but with those I loved, you know, in this moment where the Lord's passage into death was being enacted in the life of my father, you know, where where his passage into death and the mystery of the crucifixion became something for my father and for those who were standing around him and for those of us who couldn't be there, but who, by the power of prayer, were allowed to stand at my father's cross as well. And so it's a really powerful and wonderful prayer.
And we can ask Our Lady to help us to see in that way, to help us to see our lives, you know, our sorrows, our joys, the good things that happen, the challenging things that happen, the luminous things that happen in our life, the things we learn, that we would see them all in the way that she saw her son. And that the mysteries of the rosary, which, again, are simple enough for a child to understand on one level, are deeper than anyone could possibly fathom. If we realize that she's holding on to one end of it, she who is the greatest of all students, and for that reason, aside from her son, you know, the greatest of all teachers of how to see as she sees. Let's close now in prayer. Thank you for joining us for the Dominican Dimensions. I'm Father Stephen Alcott from St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined today by Father Raymond Snyder and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes. So we will finish in our prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed.
Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.